Good morning, good morning. How are we today? We've got a little more rain, but I think a little more sunshine coming. There we go. So we've been going through the book of Luke for, you know, a bit now. I was going to add up how many weeks, and I thought that might not be a complete encouragement. So I'm just going to say we've been going through it for a bit. It's called Paradigm Shift, and as we go through this series, we're looking for ways that God can transform our thinking from worldly thinking to Christ thinking. Our theme verse is from Luke 15:31. It says, "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." How do we know when someone is really with us? This can be a bit interactive. No answers. Okay, crickets. So we can know that someone's with us when they really interact with us, when we feel that interaction, when we feel their presence with us, when we know that somebody sees us or hears us, listens to us, but especially when they talk directly to us, right? If I'm having a conversation with Jill, it's usually two ways. I talk to Jill, I listen to Jill, she listens to me. It's a mutual exchange. That's how I know in those moments that Jill is with me. Jesus is that person for us. He wants to be that person for us. He doesn't want to remain hidden. He's not messing around. He's not playing hide and seek with us. He wants us to know him, and he wants us to know that he knows us, and that he wants to interact with us on an ongoing basis all the time. 2 weeks ago, Jerry spoke on the second coming of Jesus. It was a hard passage. Oh my goodness. But he did a really great job with it. Jerry made a point that we all need to be ready for Jesus' return. The passage he shared showed us that life goes on as usual, right up until the time that the Son of Man appears. Luke 17:31 says, "On that day, let one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back." Verses 17, 34 through 35. "I tell you, in that night there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding together. One will be taken, the other one left." It's kind of sobering, isn't it? To kind of think, even, you know, at work, at the grocery store, in a moment, some will be taken and some will be remaining behind. How do we know that Jesus is really with us? Because our passage today, we're going to see that Jesus wants to prepare us for his return. And within that preparation time, we can know in the deepest places of our being that he is with us. So what's your deepest concern today? What's the one thing that weighs on you more heavily than anything else? Is it a personal struggle you've been having? Is it maybe a health concern? Maybe you're having a financial challenge, or maybe a challenge at work. Maybe you're watching a loved one struggle and want to help but can't. Are you concerned about someone else's salvation, whether or not they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? What's the one thing that weighs on you today? I love Jesus so much. I love that when he shares a truth, sometimes he doesn't just come right out and say it. It might be easier for us if he did it that way, but in our listening and trying to understand what he's saying, he draws us in closer, doesn't he? That's what happened in our story today. Jesus shares a parable that kind of is a little backwards. He shares the parable first, and then he drops in the magic punchline at the end. And in a way, it's just like, hold on, what did he just say? So to make it easier for us today, we're going to work a little backwards. So we're going to start with the punchline at the end of the story so that we can understand what Jesus is really telling us as we go through the story. Jesus is a masterful storyteller. And as we listen to a parable about a persistent widow, we're going to discover that when we are persistent in prayer, Jesus builds our faith, our hope, and he prepares us. So let's pray. Jesus, we love you so much. And we just thank you that you would open our ears and open our hearts to connect with what you want us to personally know from this story today. Thank you that you would go before us and that you would go after us and that even in this message today that we would know that you're with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus ends the parable with a one-sentence statement. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So consider your concern that you came in with today. How does your faith line up with that concern? In your mind, just kind of take that concern and place it in your hand, and then just lift it up to him. And do you know with 100% expectancy that he's going to work it out? Do you believe that he's going to work it out with 100% certainty? Or are you tired or weary from carrying this concern? Do you believe that this concern is something that can't or won't ever change? Maybe you've resigned yourself to accept it as it is. Are you discouraged because you can't see it changing? So rather than feeling discouraged, you push it aside and try not to think about it. Have you given up hope that this concern will ever get resolved? Have you given up hope that God even cares about this concern? Will Jesus find faith in all the earth? Jesus wants us to have faith in our concerns today, in our waiting for his return. And as we listen to Jesus' words in this parable, we're going to also know that he builds our faith so that when he returns, he will find that faith that he's looking for within us. So I want to do something a little different today. We talk a lot at New Crossing about different translations of the Bible. And a couple months ago, Jerry was talking about different translations. And sometimes we can kind of get tripped upon the different translations. And I liked his encouragement, just find one that you like to read and read it. Pretty simple. So we're going to read the story today in three different translations. It's a little shorter, so we can do it today when maybe we wouldn't be able to do that every day. So we're going to look at the NIV, we're going to look at the Message, and then we're going to anchor ourselves in the ESV today. And if y'all remember, I have bad eyesight, so I'm just going to turn here to read it. So this is the NIV, the parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." It's a little dramatic, don't you think? And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the message, the story of the persistent widow. Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. He said there was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought and cared nothing for people. A widow in that city kept after him, "My rights are being violated. Protect me." He never gave her the time of day, But after this, he went on and he said to himself, I care nothing what God thinks, even less what people think. But because this widow won't quit badgering me, I'd better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to get beaten up black and blue by her pounding. So dramatic. Then the master said, do you hear what that judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think that God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you, he will. He will not drag his feet. But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on earth when he returns? And then this is the ESV version. The parable of the persistent widow. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. And he told them a parable to the effect that says that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. Why do I feel like that's the same passage? Because it is. Well, somebody put in a wrong slide. Okay. We're going to get to the rest of that later. Well, that was kind of fun, especially the mistake, right? So did you guys notice anything different from each of the passages? Sometimes we can see what God is saying in different ways when we kind of look at the differences and the subtleties in Scripture. Anybody notice anything? Great. They both are kind of, right? And I'm thinking a widow, I mean, we don't know how old she was, but I don't know that she would literally make somebody black and blue, but maybe she did. So if reading Scripture on your own sometimes can feel a little bit intimidating, I just encourage you to find a translation that you like. I sometimes like to just read different translations when I'm looking at a passage. Most recently, I have discovered the Voice translation, and that is kind of a thought-for-thought Bible translation. I find it's very easy to read. It's very contemporary, so it uses everyday language. So that might be one to start with if you've never read Scripture on your own by yourself. But please don't feel intimidated. So the first thing that we're going to look at is when we are persistent in prayer, Jesus builds our faith. Sometimes when you see different titles in Scripture, like the parable of the persistent widow, sometimes that can lead you to think it's a whole different section and it's a whole different story or a whole different thought. But that's not always the case. When you look at the passage that Jerry spoke a couple weeks ago, it's directly connected to our passage today, even though it looks like a different section. So Jerry preached on Luke 17, 20 through 37, and it talks about being ready for Christ's return. Jesus wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be ready. And then in this passage, he's going to tell us how he does that, how he wants us to be ready for that. So Luke 18, 1 through 5, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. That's the first thing Jesus is telling us here. He always wants us to pray. Does that feel a little overwhelming? Maybe you could pray quite a bit during the day, but how about when you're sleeping? What if you want to eat dinner? Are you supposed to pray through dinner? What if you want to watch Netflix? Are you supposed to pray through Netflix? I don't have Netflix. So I don't really know how that works. I have actually had times when I've woken up in the middle of the night and realized I was praying as I was sleeping. I think sometimes God can pray with us while we're sleeping and we don't know it. But to always pray, Jesus talks about what that looks like in Matthew 6, 5 through 8. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for the Father knows what you need before you ask him. After that, then Jesus teaches the disciples how to pray, and he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. It's very simple. It's not a lot of words. So praying always is not about using a lot of words. It's not about repeating the same prayer over and over and over and over and over and over and over. It's not about doing it in public. It's not about a lot of words. It's not about fancy words. It can be very simple. What Jesus is saying is that praying should be as natural as breathing. That we do it so consistently that, like breathing, we don't even have to think about doing it. So I thought it would be kind of a fun practice to practice a little bit today. What? And I want to do it today just for like a minute, and then I want to encourage you to practice it this week. Every time a random thought, might be God, might be random, but every time a thought pops into your head, I just want to encourage you to intentionally turn it around to a prayer. So what does that look like? This is my thought. I need to make something for dinner. I can turn that into a thought. Jesus, what do you want me to make for dinner tonight? My husband pops into my head. Jesus, thank you for my husband. Would you bless him today? Thank you for how he loves me. I gotta go mow the grass. Okay, Jesus, what do you want to talk about while I'm mowing the grass? Will you mow the grass with me? Will you talk to me and interact? We have an hour and 15 minutes while I'm mowing the grass to have a conversation. Not that I've timed mowing my grass. Maybe sometimes you might have people, the names of people kind of pop into your head. I've had that a lot recently. Tracy's come into my mind a lot. So I take that and I say, Jesus, would you heal her in Jesus' name? Baby Titus, thank you for how you're healing him. Jesus, would you continue to heal him? Somebody at work, Jesus, would you meet her in a way that allows her to fully surrender to you? Those random people might be the Holy Spirit encouraging you and wanting you to pray with him on their behalf. Maybe you start thinking about your work day in the morning. Okay, Jesus, what do you want me to focus on today while I'm at work? What's your priority for me today? And do it. My dog is driving me crazy. Jesus, how do you want me to meet my dog today? Susie Q was so mean yesterday. Jesus, would you help me to not take offense at what she said to me? And as an act of my will, I choose to forgive her in Jesus' name. The water on this lake is so soothing when I listen to it. Jesus, how do you want to soothe me today? And the list can go on and on and on. So I just want to sit for like a minute and just let the Holy Spirit see if he'll drop a thought into your head. And then just be intentional with turning it into a prayer. And then I'm going to show a short video. So Holy Spirit, we just ask, would you drop one thought into our heads and help us to turn it into a prayer in Jesus' name?
me, Jesus. Sorry, I'm late. Work was crazy today. No, don't get up. It's okay. Just got a little bit behind. People are being crazy, you know.
That's no problem, Chuck. I'm just glad.
I'm glad I made it, too. But listen, let's get down to business. I have a lot of work here. A lot of requests. First things first, pastor and his wife are at a conference. Keep them safe. Not a fan of the assistant pastor. The less he preaches, the better. What else? Ralph, his wife, is getting a tattoo removed. It's a stupid college party way back when. You know how those things go. It's in a real painful spot. I'm not a fan of football here, but my friend is. And if I could have two tickets to take him to show him how cool I am so he'd be my friend some more, that'd be great. My dog Nibbles has a gimp leg.
Jiminy crickets. You know, now that I'm thinking, I could use a new jacket. I'm getting fuzzies all in this one. Please bless my sister, my mother, my father.
Our Father who art in heaven, my neighbor, Cindy, hallowed be thy name. Can you sort of train my church to clap on 2 and 4, please? 1 and 3, this is not disco, people. This is serving the Lord. The guy who brings in my shopping cart from the thing, something I can do to get a raise. Can you read what I wrote here? I think I was dreaming. Plus the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Agriculture, the Secretary of Secretaries. Bless their secretaries. Thy kingdom come. And that's what bothers me about my mother. Hey, look at the time there. That's gotta get going there. Jesus is gonna wrap this up and say amen. Amen. It's been a pleasure praying with you. It's fine. Evening. I'll be talking with you. Have a good day.
So, always praying is not about using a lot of words. It's also not always about just talking. The other part of prayer is listening, right? I would argue that might even be the most important part. Jesus already knows what we need to ask him for, right? So I just want to encourage you as you are turning those little random thoughts into your head into intentional prayers to just be quiet and let Jesus speak to you. Because that's where you're going to gain his perspective. That's how you're going to understand his truth. Did you notice all the examples I was rambling off before the video? All of those were open-ended questions. Jesus, what do you want me to know? Would you help me forgive? It invites a dialogue. It invites his input. So I want to encourage you to practice that because that's one way that we can know that God is with us when we're hearing him speak to us. I was praying with a woman this week that was so hurt by somebody saying something to her. And in her mind, she had settled on, they don't respect women. And after we prayed together and we had time where Jesus could speak that truth to her, she's like, oh my gosh, they want to protect me. They want to make sure I'm not hurt because they care about me, which is a different perspective than trying to squash me down because I'm a woman. The enemy twists. God is the one that untwists, and we have to have that time of quiet just to let him speak to untwist anything he needs to untwist. Maybe y'all don't have anything that needs to be untwisted, but I do. If the thought of listening for God's voice is intimidating or scares you, please come and talk to Craig and Jill afterwards, and come talk to me too. I love listening for God's voice. That's really one of the things that changed what my relationship with Jesus looked like, is listening for his voice and learning how to hear that for myself. So, we have to always pray. We have to be intentional with turning our thoughts into prayers. We need to be quiet and we need to listen. The second thing that Jesus instructs us in that passage is to not lose heart. Jesus knows that the disciples are going to be out in the world amongst people who don't believe them, who ridicule them, hate them even maybe. Maybe they won't be kind to them. Maybe they'll be rejected. Maybe some of us have experienced things like that in the world. The disciples would have obstacles that they would need to push through. And we do too, right? Who put these slides in order? Well, that would be me. So, to persist means to continually and firmly and obstinately stay on a course of action despite opposition over a prolonged period of time. To persist, it's going to be a long haul. It's not going to be a quick fix. Would you say that you're persistent by nature? How easily do you find it to not give up? Some of the synonyms thank you, Dustin. He fixed it. Some of the synonyms I found for persist were like doggedness, single-mindedness, tenacious, all interesting words, I think. But do you typically find it easy to push through those obstacles when they are in front of you? When you look at the different root meanings of not to lose heart, let's see what happens when I do this. Dustin, do you want to find the one that says faint for me, please? So that root word, when it is talking about not to lose heart, that is literally translated to the word faint. And that word faint describes a believer who loses heart and gets so discouraged that he or she wants to quit. Have you had times in your life like that when you've been praying for something and nothing changes and you get discouraged so you just stop praying? Has anybody here ever fainted? A couple people. I especially remember a time when I was little. I was playing outside and it was super hot. And I came in the front door and I walked into air conditioning. And I don't know if it was the temperature change, but I walked into the front door. I saw my mom across the room. The next thing I remember, I just remember falling down. It was very sudden. It was very quick. There was nothing I could do to stop it. And then the next thing I remember, I woke up and I was laying in my bed with a cold compress on my head. I don't remember anything after looking at my mom and going down. So that word faint is what Jesus is talking about. If we don't pray all the time, he's saying that we can lose our faith and lose our heart and quit as quickly as we could faint. That's kind of sobering as well. The key is to pray all the time because we don't want to get to a situation where we find ourselves going down and not being able to do anything to stop it. So we all have obstacles, right? Let's look at how the widow handled the obstacles in front of her. Women had little standing before the law, and women needed their husbands in order to pursue anything legally or an advocate that would help them get their case on the court docket. Thank you. Wow. But they needed somebody to help them get their case heard. The widow had no husband. Widows were poor. If you didn't have a husband, if you didn't have an advocate, then your only means to do anything legally for women in that time was to bribe an official to be able to get their case on the docket. Women who were widows did not have money to do that. So she did what she knew how to do. She showed up. She was persistent, and she continued to show up. And that's our third point today. Did you notice how, like Jesus, I put the punchline at the end? So courts in this time were kind of like traveling tents. They would travel from place to place to place to town to town to town. In order for the widow to show up every time, she would literally have to follow them everywhere they went. The judge gave her justice because she was bothering him. And it was her continual coming. The Greek words for those two phrases are almost identical. And it says to show or to present oneself. It's the same thing. It's coming and presenting ourselves to Jesus. That's what he's saying. Continue to come and present yourself to me. Follow where I'm going. Show up. That's what he's telling the disciples to do. And he wants us to do this so we don't lose heart, so we don't quit, so that we are prepared for his return, right? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance. That word faith means expectancy. We can have an expectancy of things that are hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. That's what faith is. It's knowing something is possible, knowing that it can be done, maybe not seeing it yet, but continuing to show up, continuing to pray into it until the answer is revealed, right? Her pleas were answered because she showed up. Not because the man respected man or feared God. It was her showing up that caused him to answer her prayers. I've witnessed many miracles through the act of prayer. I've seen people literally held captive by something for years, and in a moment, they're set free. I've seen people be physically healed. I've seen people pray and receive their eternal life and their salvation because they prayed and invited Jesus in. One of my friends sat up here 10 years ago on the stage and received Jesus as her Lord and Savior. The Bible says that's a miracle. The more I see God move and answer prayers, my faith grows. Because I see him moving, and I was like, yes, okay, yes. What's next, God? What do you want me to pray into next? So we have a gift for you today. Well, we have a gift for three of you. Three men and three women. Something that I've been practicing, I don't know, the last year or so, is prayer journaling. And so we have some prayer journals. The ones for guys have an anchor on them, and it says, you know, for men. And then pretty girls get pretty flowers. I have to be intentional with this, so I literally am setting aside an hour every week so I can go back and look at how the prayers were answered from last week, see where I need to continue to pray. The more I see, I think I'm just seeing them more clearly because I'm writing them down and I'm tracking them. So it's been a really good discipline for me over the last year. And I'm noticing as I pray and I see those prayers get answered, I'm getting a little bit bolder with my prayers. So if you want one, just come up and grab one after service. If you're one of those nice people that says, oh no, I'm going to let everybody else have one, it's okay. I'm going to put the link in the weekly email. You guys can pick one up yourselves. But it's free. It's just a little gift to help you practice persistent prayer. So back to Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance, the expectancy of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. So this is leading us into our second point of the message today. When we are persistent in prayer, God builds our hope. Let me let you in on some insights about hope. This passage offers so much hope. The disciples did not have the full picture of it yet because Jesus was still doing his work on earth when he was talking to them. We have the benefit of seeing everything that happened in Christ's life and everything that happened after he died and rose. We have so much hope that we can have. And the promises are in Scripture. There is so much hope that we can have. So we're going to look at the contrast between the widow's obstacles and what we know about God. And we're going to look for places that we can have hope. So the widow had no direct access to the judge. As believers, we do. For through him, meaning Jesus, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. As believers, we have direct and immediate access to God. That's hope. The second point, the widow had no advocate to get her case on the court docket. As believers, we can look at 1 John 2:1. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with us, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. As believers, when we pray, we have in heaven a Savior who is an advocate for us with the Father. The widow had no promises that the judge would hear her case nor rule in her favor. As believers, we can look at Romans 8:26 through 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And when he searches hearts and knows what's the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. As believers, we not only have the promises of God in Scripture, but we have the Holy Spirit that helps remind us of those promises and helps teach us about those promises. The widow had no money to bribe the officials. She had to plead out of her poverty. As believers, we can look at Philippians 4:19, and my God, who will supply every need of ours according to the riches and the glory in Jesus Christ. As believers, we have all of God's riches available to meet our every need. Hope means having a biblical certainty. It's not just a lighthearted hope. Oh, I hope I can get 2 tickets to take my friend to the football game. It's not a flippant hope. It's a biblical certainty. One way you can know what those biblical certainties are is to read the Bible for yourselves. Get together with friends and look for the biblical certainties, the promises that God gives us in Scripture. But in Luke 8:6-7, going back to our persistent widow passage, Jesus is going to share some biblical certainty of what we can see in God. This is 6 and 7. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. The judge was not righteous, yet he provided justice. How much more would a loving and righteous God provide justice toward his children whom he loves? It's a lot more. Justice means vengeance or punishment. Kind of a strong word. Maybe you're struggling with a personal situation right now where you need to see justice come through. It's okay. Pray and ask him to show you justice. He will show it to you speedily. But I want to just touch on the specific type of justice that Jesus is talking about in this passage. He does want us to be able to ask for justice for the things that we need on a day-to-day basis, but this is going back to Jerry's passage about Jesus coming back for us. And he gave us justice mightily because what we were owed for our sin is death. But the justice that Jesus gave us in a speedy fashion, although his crucifixion was not fast, is freedom and justice for our eternal lives with the Father in heaven. That's not just good news, that's great news. So let's end where we began this morning. When we are persistent in prayer, Jesus prepares us. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Do you think Jesus is asking if he's just going to randomly find it on earth? I don't think so. He's talking directly to the disciples. He started out with, guys, be prepared for my return because it's going to be quick. This is how you do it. You pray continually and don't give up. Will I find faith? I think he's asking the disciples if he will find faith in them when he returns. And I think he's asking me, Sarah Newby, will I find faith in you? And I think he's asking that of all of us today. Will I find faith within you when I return? We don't know exactly what day Jesus is going to come back, but we have biblical certainty that he will because it's in the Bible and because it says so, right? He's not messing around. What he says in the Bible is true. I don't think he's messing around, and I don't think he wants us to be messing around either. The parable of the persistent widow is about having faith. Faith that's strong enough, despite the obstacles that we're going to come up against in our lives, that he will find it still within us when he returns. So I think it's good to do an honest assessment of where your faith is. It's not about being perfect. That's not what Jesus is saying. But do you even really believe that he's going to return? Do you feel like it's truth, or is it just words or a story on a page? Do you feel pretty confident that he's going to return for you? If you do, that's great. That's great. I love that. Continue to pray so you don't lose it. I don't want to say one way or the other. I think it's something between you and God. But I think it's good to ask the question, Jesus, do I have faith that you see in me? And is it strong enough that's going to be able to withstand what's going to come at me until you do? How do you feel about others that don't know Jesus? Do you pray persistently for them to know Jesus? Do you even think about it? Does your heart break for those that don't know him? Jesus isn't messing around, guys. If we've put our faith in Jesus, we have biblical certainty that he will return for us and that it will be a sudden thing, right? The work Jesus did on the cross has already vindicated us. His work completely washes off everything that we've done, everything that we will do, and we are clean before the Father when Jesus returns. Wow. Hopefully that invokes a lot of gratitude, because I couldn't do it. As much as I try to be good, I would never do enough to wash away everything I've done. The Father and Jesus have already prepared us because Jesus did the work on the cross. But Jesus is encouraging us today to continue to pray, to stay close to him, to hear what he's saying, to follow his direction, to continue to pray for those that don't know him because he's not messing around. It's a good reminder for us, no matter where we are in our faith journey, to know that he has loved us so much that he put himself on a cross so that I'm vindicated even before I knew I needed it. So where does God need to meet you today? Again, he's not looking for us to be perfect, faithful people. All those questions about 100% certainty, 100% faith, I don't have it. I want to. And those places that I know I don't have 100% faith, those are places that I can invite Jesus in, and he can grow my faith through prayer. So where does Jesus need to meet you today? Does he need to meet you in the concern that you brought in this morning? Maybe he wants to expand your perspective on his second coming when he comes back for us. How does he want to increase your persistence in prayer this week, today, tomorrow, this next month? It takes 21 days to develop a habit, right? So if we take that intentional prayer, 21 days, it should be pretty easy for us to do it naturally. Does he need to build your faith? Do you feel like you need more hope? And I just want to give us a moment to be silent so that God can speak to us and show us where he wants to meet us. Jesus, what do you want us to know today about the persistent widow? If the worship team wants to come back up. Anybody hear anything, sense anything? Yay, we got some hands, that's awesome. So were any of you cheerleaders ever? Yay, Tracy, really? Who else? Amy, who else? Really? I wanted to be a cheerleader back in the day. Now I'm just an spiritual cheerleader. I titled the passage, Be Persistent. Be persistent. In my mind, it was like a little cheer. But I do think it's an encouragement and an invitation from Jesus to us today. It might sound funny, but you know how I am. So I just want to pray for you. Karen and Lisa will close it up. Craig will close up the morning. So let's bow our heads. Jesus, we do love you. And God, I thank you so much for how you prepared us before we even knew your name. We thank you that you prepared us by going to the cross and willingly sacrificing yourself for us. God, I thank you that not only did you do that, but that you gave us tools to continue to prepare us for your return. Thank you. It's not a huge checklist. It's just always pray and don't lose heart. And I thank you, Jesus, that that's how we know that you're with us, when we can hear you speak to us. And I pray if there are people here today that don't know how to hear your voice, I pray that you put it on their heart to come forward and talk with us, because that, I think, is the most wondrous, miraculous thing ever, that you speak to us. But we do ask, as we leave today, God, that you would increase and build our faith, our expectancy in who you are and what you would do, and that you would build our hope with those promises and those biblical certainties that we find in Scripture. And we thank you that you would continue to prepare us for our daily walk in the world, and to help those that don't know you also walk towards you. Jesus, I ask that you would bring somebody who's not yet put their faith in you in our midst this week. That every single one of us would have an encounter with somebody that does not know you. And that we would have the courage to speak not just the good news, but the great news of what you've done. Would you continue to grow our faith? Would you teach us how to be persistent in prayer? And would you teach us how to be persistent in listening for you? And in all these things, we just honor you and glorify your name, Jesus. And it's in your name that we pray this.